Grace and peace from God our Father, hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the consolation of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs, those who say in their hearts, "The Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm." Their wealth shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a full and terrible end, he will make all of his inhabitants of the earth. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 90 responsively. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. You turn us back to the dust and say, "Turn back, O children of earth."
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday and it has passed, and like a watch in the night.
You sweep them away like a dream. They fade away suddenly like the grass.
In the morning it is green and flourishes. In the evening it is dried up.
For we are consumed by your anger. We are afraid because of your wrath.
Our iniquities you have set before you, and our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
Glory
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, But let us keep awake and be sober, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encouraging one another, build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. I'm going to align you with the world.
Thank you. Thank you. She's been a pusher all her life.
And he's such an easy man to push.
Well, I ought to say something nice about her. And I want to thank Pastor Sharon for the opportunity to preach my last sermon at St. Peter's. And I want to thank some of your friends who have come today to join the St. Peter's congregation. 60 years ago, I was ordained to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments. That's the sacred charge to all Lutheran pastors. takes precedence over everything else. And I've tried to be faithful in my preaching, remembering St. Paul's words in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. And so I've tried to do that. We're glad that our pastor's sermons are always based on a passage of Scripture. Because in the book of Acts, St. Luke calls us overseers and says we are to feed the church of Christ, which he purchased with his own blood. So something over 3,000 sermons now, and this one today. H-A-D-A-D. That was a man's name. H-A-D-A-D. Hado. Heyday. Hey, Dad. That's easiest for me to pronounce. Linguists suggest different pronunciations because there are four different people in the Bible named H-A-D-A-D. The one who is our focus today hardly made it into the Bible. If we were filming this, he'd be a walk-on, wouldn't get his name in the credits at the end of the movie. This Hadad was a young man, a bit restless, living outside the box. He knew the history, everybody did. Thousands of years earlier, Moses had led God's people out of Egypt, across the sea toward the Promised Land. Now they were a nation, a kingdom, into their second king, David. Hadad, though, dreamed about Egypt. No posters to entice him, no special fares on El Al Airlines to get him there in 35 minutes. But Hadad dreamed about going to Egypt. Maybe he thought about those Egyptian maidens, raven black hair, pointy faces, shapely bodies, living seductively by the Nile River. Maybe he thought about the Nile River overflowing its banks each year, agriculture there. Maybe he just had itchy feet. He wanted to go to Egypt. And what propelled him to do so was when King David began to move into his area and Hadad went to Egypt. There he soon was doing very well, got along with the Pharaoh, and then of all things, he married the queen's sister. That got him into the royal family. Now he had it made. Now he had a great life, everything he could want. And then word came, maybe by a caravan, that King David had died, and his ruthless general, Joab, had been killed. And Hadad dreamed about going back home, going back to where he had lived before, those marches around the Salt Sea and some of those red stone hills. Most of all, he had these unsung songs in his heart, his religious background, the memories of all of that. And so he went to Hadad, and this is our text for today, 1 Kings 11:21. Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to my own country." But Pharaoh said to him, "What do you lack with me, that you now seek to go to your own country?" And Hadad said, "Nothing. Nevertheless, let me go." Something was tugging at his heart. Fingers of memory were reaching out to him. Hadad wanted to go home again. So that's what we have here, these few verses in the Bible. Why are they there? What redeeming value is there in this? What is God saying to us in these verses? Perhaps this, that in every person, there is the desire to go home again. When God made us, he made us as spiritual beings. In the first chapter of the Bible, when he created man, he breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living nephesh, a living soul. We are spiritual beings able to communicate with God. And God is our home. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. In a mixed metaphor in the Psalms, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. We are made to be at home with God. Let me suggest three pegs on which to hang our thoughts. The first is decision. This has to do with people who don't know God, couldn't care less. He means nothing to them. They're living their lives sometimes happily, it seems to them. Yet something is gnawing at them, no everlasting purpose or direction. Mary Roberts Reinhart one time described this kind of life. This life's a hollow bubble, don't you know? Just a painted piece of trouble, don't you know? We come to earth and cry. We grow old and then we sigh. Older still and then we die, don't you know? That's it. That's all there is to it. That's all there is of it. A person named Dan Taylor wrote about a man named Ezra who inherited a restaurant. He tried to make a go of it, good menus and chefs, and redecorated the place, but he couldn't compete. And then he came up with this idea. Everybody has foods in his or her background, special things they want to taste. So he made it possible for people to call and arrange for their favorite foods. Maybe a Swede would ask for lutefisk. Maybe a black person would want fried chicken or grits, and a French person crepes, and maybe a Hispanic would want tacos and enchiladas. And you would call into, he called it dinner, at the homesick restaurant. Everybody really wants dinner at the homesick restaurant. That's the way we're made. In the first chapter of Mark's gospel, Jesus is off by himself praying, and people are starting to gather. It's the day after the Sabbath. A few people are gathering to hear him preach and have a meal. And Peter rushed to him and said, you know, come, Jesus, people are gathering. And then this remarkable word in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, everybody is searching for you. And that's really the way it is. We're spiritual beings. Everybody at the heart of life is searching for Jesus. That's how it is. How does that little gospel hymn go? I walk with God, and now I want to come home. Home again, something like that. The word decision speaks to people who don't care about God. The word devotion has to do with people who know the Lord and love him. Oh, and of course we spend time coming to worship on Sundays, but much more than that, having a devotional life, that we live every day, all of the time, with a consciousness of the Lord's presence in our lives. We, of course, have our times of devotion and prayer, but St. Paul said that we should pray at all times. Not that we're kneeling on our knees all the time, but the presence of God in our lives. Peter Marshall was a chaplain of the U.S. Senate. He pointed out one time that the human heart isn't perfectly shaped like Valentine's in February. A piece seems to be missing, he noted. may be suggesting that when God created us, he kept a piece of us for himself so that we can never really be wholehearted about anything unless we are close to God all of the time. Devotion to him. And God expects things of us. That's what today's gospel was saying. These talents were given to the slaves, given to us, abilities to serve God, to glorify him, and to help others. And then to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servants. But in order to reach out, we must be devoted to the Lord. A lot of great groups, humanistic, secularistic groups, are doing marvelous things to help people in the world. But we Christians do it out of a love for the Lord, and that devoted life must be there. You can no more give somebody else what you ain't got than you can come back from where you ain't never been. It's because we live a life of devotion, loving the Lord every day in our thoughts, in our lives, just built into us all of the time. Devotion is the word that speaks to us as Christians. The third word is departure. The time comes when the sands of life run out and our bodies little by little shut down and we die. On the bulletin are listed the names of 13 members who died this past year. I read them, 10 of them I knew so well, some close friends. In addition, there are pictures of people here, some of whom, whose funerals I officiated at. We die. Jesus, before he died, spoke to his disciples in the upper room, those couple chapters at the center of St. John's Gospel. And he said the familiar words, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I like the King James translation. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will call you again to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Death is that going home to God who made us. My grandfather was a farmer. He had a great tenor singing voice. We had a large farmhouse, and he often would sit on the back porch and would sing. Later in life, a tree limb fell on him, and he was crippled. And I remember him as an old man sitting there singing a song or a hymn. I don't know what it was. I never heard it any other place. I never saw it printed. But I remember the words. Over the hills, the sun is setting, and the eve is drawing nigh. Still, 'tis sweet to know it even. We are wandering nearer home. Nearer home. Nearer home. Nearer to our home on high. To the green fields and to the fountains of the land beyond the sky. Going home, a decision for one who doesn't know God. Devotion for those who know him and love him. And departure for all of us when life ends. Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart that I may go to my own country. But Pharaoh said to him, what do you lack with me that you now seek to go to your own country? And Hadad said nothing. Nevertheless, let me go. Throughout our lives and beyond, all of us go home to God. Amen.